It's 14 minutes to one here at City Park Radio, your community station here in Launceston. And as I said earlier, this weekend, blokes and birds, take that whichever way you want, are flocking together at the Country Club for a special weekend. I've got the president of the South Australian Budgerigar Association on the line now, Troy Holmes. G'day, Troy.
G'day, Chris. Thank you for having me on the show.
Is it true that the birds and blokes all gather, are flocking together this weekend?
We have a bunch of people that have obviously flocked from the mainland down here to Tasmania, and we're all very excited to present the best budgies in the country in a state, I guess, a state of origin, if you will.
Yeah.
It's definitely the biggest weekend on the Australian budgerigar calendar.
And could you deem it as a sport, showing budgerigars?
Look, it's definitely competitive. What I love about it personally, you find that with budgerigars, there's a lot of scientific knowledge goes behind it in terms of the genetics and trying to breed the correct look of the 28 different varieties. But, you know, then there's also a bit of artistic flair in there. So when you're putting the pairs together and what they look like. And then obviously there's the competitive side. So I don't think you can call it a sport, but it's a very encompassing hobby.
It's a really, like you're saying, an encompassing hobby. Tell me, how do you get your birds? How do you manage to smuggle them into Tasmania?
We don't let them free fly down here. They're certainly not pigeons. We send them with the likes of Virgin or Qantas. I believe the Queensland team actually drove down. So, but ours came over safely with Virgin yesterday.
They don't fly business class, do the champions get to fly business class, or they just
there's definitely no upgrades for the birds. They obviously don't know any different, so they're quite happy to sit in a travel cage and be lodged in with a general cargo.
Tell me, you say it's pretty competitive. How many birds would you expect to be on display this weekend?
There, over the course of the weekend, there'll be 588 birds on show. So we have three birds from each state or zone in each of the 28 class. So we'll start, each class will have 21 birds in it. So we'll start off tomorrow morning with the normal greens and the normal grey greens. So two of them are judged at once. And they go through progressively. So there'll be three Tasmanian birds, three Victorian birds, three South Australian birds, etc. That's how they do it.
How do you judge a budgerigar? Do you look at the sheen of the feathers, the look of the eye, that type of thing?
All of those things and more. A budgerigar, we have a standard of excellence, which we refer to as the standard. And the standard is sort of what they put out there, and it's based on the shape of the bird, but also the variety of the bird. So we're looking at the feathers, but we're also looking at how big it is, making sure that it's got the correct deportment. So that the head is the correct portion to the body. The birds have what we call a mask, so a bib, making sure that the mask is nice and deep, but also making sure that the head on the bird releases. So it's got what we call a cap throat. So there's many different facets to it. The judge, believe it or not, to become a judge at a national level, it's a 13-year process.
Ooh. And, of course, the championships have been going on for quite a number of years as well, and it's shared around the states. Tell me, like for Saturday night, usually Saturday night's the dinner night, the big entertainment night as well for most conferences and things like that. Do you have Budgie Got Talent nights to see which ones sing the best?
No, but that's a great idea. I think we could definitely look at incorporating something like that. There was a Budgie back in the day that released an album on Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm.
So Sparky Williams, I think it was. They took him on tour and did a fantastic job, so that's definitely something we could consider in the future.
It just came to me. I thought, I wonder what, don't judge on their ability to sing, but the way they look, the way they hold themselves, the way they display themselves is the way to judge them.
Yep, definitely.
So the prestige, each year the prizes get shared around, or, do you find that one state's just a little bit keener than the other states, and they display their birds a little bit better?
I think Victoria probably has the most depth in their budgerigars. Mm. They've won the national titles a record 32 times out of 48. So New South Wales comes in second. South Australia, we've managed to win it three times, although it was back in the 80s. And South Queensland has won it once.
Mm.
So at this stage, Tasmania hasn't won it before. But I guess the key is getting the depth across all 28 varieties. So where people breed grey-green, for instance, making sure that they also breed the clearlings or the Lutino variety, pure yellow ones of the budgerigar, so that there's a competitiveness in each of those.
I find it interesting that there's so many categories for budgerigars that you start off with. You've got, what, at least a dozen different colours to start with, and then you've got the varieties and types of birds as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of them. We're very fortunate, I guess, with captive breeding. In the wild, you'll only ever see the green budgerigars flying around out there. And the reason for that, a group of budgerigars is called a chatter, but as they're in what they call a mermation, or those big waves that you see that can almost blacken out the sun in outback Australia, They're always green budgerigars. And if there is, for instance, a yellow one, something like a hawk identifies it within that pack of, you know, 10, 14,000 budgerigars, and it goes straight for it. So in the wild, we don't see those mutations, whereas with captive breeding, we're able to breed them and then obviously continue them on. So we're very fortunate.
I'm just thinking that it'd be a reasonably cheap hobby to have budgerigars, would it?
It's a great... Budgerigars sort of has a great balance between affordability and interaction. So you could probably buy a goldfish cheaper, but it's just going to swim around and do a few laps in a bowl. Whereas a budgerigar, you can teach it to talk, you can teach it tricks. And, you know, down at your general pet shop, you're probably talking $25 still for a budgie. The ones that we have here on display... obviously, they're a lot more like a thoroughbred horse or a dressage horse in terms of their pedigree and how they've been trained. So there is more value in those. But certainly getting into budgerigar breeding and having one as a pet, they are apparently, according to Wikipedia, the world's third most popular pet. So,
I was just thinking that, like, in the thoroughbred industry, in the horse industry, they have the yearling sales. Is that something that the budgerigar industry has, that once a year you have this, you know, buy and sell?
We do have a national auction that's incorporated into what we're running here on the weekend. So on Sunday we'll have some of the people who did very well last year. So the winners from last year are invited to put forward a pair. And then what we call our Hall of Famous, our legends of the game. So those guys would be people who've had more than 7 wins at a national level. They're also invited to come along. And then normally one or two local breeders that may not already be in the Hall of Fame, but are at the upper echelon of breeding within the state.
I'm starting to feel for the poor little budgerigar who comes for a holiday in Tasmania and goes home to another state.
Well, I'm sure he'd be very cared for and looked after there.
Yeah.
Budgerigar breeders, I think there's nothing more therapeutic than caring for an animal.
We are
very much looking after them, caring them, caressing them, making sure their feathers are all sitting correctly. Yeah. That's what we're doing this weekend.
I mean, everybody, I think, is growing up, you know, a lot of young people had budgies and who's a pretty boy or who's a pretty girl, that type thing. You take it to a whole new level with the championships. How can people come and see these 588 birds that you've got in Tassie for the weekend?
So we're holding the event at the Country Club Casino in Prospect Vale. People can come down and have a look. I believe it's $5 entry for adults and it'll be free for the kids. There is a children's hour on between 9 and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, so we'd encourage anyone with grandkids to bring them down, get their faces painted, do some colouring in. It'll be a lot of fun, I think. So it'll be a great day out, a lot of family fun to be had.
Is it open both days or is it just tomorrow?
It's open both days. So we judge Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon and then Sunday morning.
That's when the money changes hands, does it?
In the afternoon we have the auction, yeah.
Look, Troy, look, it's been fascinating to find out a little bit about your hobby and the hobby of quite a few other people. And I like, welcome to Tasmania, and thanks for having your championships here for this year. I know you share it around the States. It looks like we get a Guernsey every 7 or 8 years, so let's hope Tassie might get a winner out of this year as well.
That'd be fantastic. Thanks for having me on the program, Bruce.
That's Troy Holmes. He's the South Australian president of the Budgerigar Association there, but he's in town with the national championships, as he said, being held at the Country Club. And you can see the birds tomorrow and Sunday. They'll be on display.